Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Vinny Rondinelli on this Tuesday afternoon of Drive Time Sports. Of course, Vinny joins us each Tuesday to talk some NFL football. Vinny, it's great to get you back in the studio today. We had to get you in today because it's trade deadline in the NFL, and there has been a lot of movement, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't wait to get in here today to talk to you, Jordan. It's been quite a day in the last couple hours. Have been happening.
I don't recall the trade deadline for the NFL being this active back when the deadline was at week six, like 4 or 5 years ago. Moving it to week eight made a big difference.
A huge difference because it changed the course of a lot of people's seasons. You know, week eight, halfway point, it made a big difference. And this year, though, I mean, with the new cap rules and a lot of the way the structure is in this new CBA, you're seeing a lot more trades happening anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they started trading all the way back into the summer.
Right.
So, you know, lower-end deals. But, yeah, this was a heck of a day today.
It was. Let's start with the Denver Broncos. I know we got a lot of Bronco fans out. The Demaryius Thomas era is now officially over in Denver. They have traded Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans. We will break down all these trades a little bit later on in the show. But I wanted to start with this one because, look, Demaryius Thomas was a fixture within this offense for quite some time. Look, he won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos, for crying out loud. However, you are starting to see some regression from Demaryius Thomas. The Houston Texans have won 5 consecutive games. Will Fuller tears his ACL. He's out for the season. So this trade makes sense. John Elway addressing the media earlier today, talking about Thomas on his way out, and he also talked about the opportunity that this will give Sutton within the Bronco offense.
We were not hell-bent on trading Demaryius. If the value was there, then we felt the value was there. We felt that it could help us that way as far as the draft next year, and that we thought that with the young guys behind him that we could make up for the space that he would leave. And so we got the value that we thought was fair. You know, we thought that, this would give Cortland a chance to get out there, play more, and become a bigger part of it because we think he's ready to go. And, you know, he's played well up to this point in time. So hopefully this accelerates his maturity.
Vinny, listening to John Elway talk about Sutton, yeah, I guess it makes sense at this point in time for the Broncos. Yeah,
absolutely.
It really
it's a no-brainer. The Broncos are not a playoff football team. I think they were, I think Sunday was a huge day for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had to go into Arrowhead. They were competitive there for a little bit. Chiefs pulled away. But I think if they win that game, it changes their season quite a bit. I don't know if this trade happens if they win that game, Jordan. I really don't. But I think his cap number, 13.5, somewhere in that neighborhood. He wasn't gonna be there next year anyways.
17.5.
17.5. And next year was 14?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is last year in Denver. Well, I guess we could agree on that. Denver has quarterback issues anyways. I think the Cortland Sutton thing, get him the reps, getting better. They're not going anywhere until they find
a
quarterback.
Yeah. The current CBA all reverts to rookie deals.
You're right. So Sutton needs the reps. Sutton's a good-looking rookie. He needs the reps. DT, he's going to be 31.
Yeah, he's 30 right now.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's going to be 31. They're not going to give him $14 million. They're not going to the playoffs. They need to find a quarterback anyways. Case Keenum is not going to be a franchise quarterback.
He's there one more year max.
Yeah, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback. They know that. We know that. Everybody knows that. So it's a good deal. Now, when look at the flip side, though, you have some cap space. You can take it for Houston. And they got a little momentum going. Probably going to win that division.
I would assume,
With that defense, they get healthy. Everything starting to roll for them. They're going to win that division most likely. This was a playoff move. Because if they get in, by that time, Watson and him should have something going. They lost Will Fuller, so I like it. I think it's a win for Houston. I really do. And Denver, I see their point. I think it's a win-win both ways.
I think you and I, this will be a reoccurring theme as we talk about the trades. I don't see any big losers in any deal that was made today.
Not today, no.
No, I really don't. No. Now, you and I were very boisterous in talking about the Dallas Cowboy and the Oakland Raider deal for Amari Cooper, and you and I both agree that the Raiders fleeced the Cowboys in that deal. We'll see how this pans out over the next few weeks. But I thought today most of the trades helped both sides. And really, in the NFL, sometimes you see that more often than you would in the NBA or Major League Baseball. But that was the big deal today, and I know Bronco fans. Look, you're talking about one of the most successful wide receivers in Bronco history. He's second in receiving yards and in touchdown catches in Bronco history. Trails only Rod Smith.
Yeah, I think there were 7,000 yard seasons in a row. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I think it was 7,000 yard seasons in a row. Great player, big physical, strong player, can still help. DeAndre Hopkins draws so much. And I think when you look at Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, they were thinking about this. Jordan, let's be honest, with Fuller out, you know, I know DT's a different player. Thomas isn't going to stretch it like Fuller. But when they didn't have anybody over there, there were some games I watched, Hopkins got triple coverage.
Right.
I mean, DT, he can still beat a couple number two corners, no doubt in my mind. Jump balls, being physical, good blocker. I think there's still something left for them. And I think Houston had to do it. What else? Who else are they going to throw the ball to?
Well, and look, I guess the question for Houston would be, if we're looking at it from a Texan standpoint, do they make this deal if Will Fuller is healthy?
No.
You don't think they do?
No, I don't.
You know, fourth round pick is all they're giving up.
But you're going to eat fourth, you know, the caps. Yeah, cap space, things like that. Fourth round pick. But yeah, if Will Fuller's playing, I don't think this deal gets done at all, Jordan. I really don't.
Let's move on and talk about a couple of other trades. And again, we'll break these down next segment in depth. The Green Bay Packers made a couple of deals today after losing to the Rams in a classic on Sunday. Ha-ha Clinton Dix is on his way to the Washington Redskins for a 2019 fourth round pick. Dix is only 25 years old. He's been a starter since his rookie season. He is an unrestricted free agent after this year. He was a first round pick back in 2014.
14,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, went to the Pro Bowl in 2016. The Redskins are in first place in the East, and we'll talk about that division later on in the show as well, sitting at 5-2. They're a quiet 5-2.
They've struggled a little bit here and there. We've seen some games they didn't look too well, but I love this deal for the Redskins.
I do too.
And, you know, the Packers, I think what the Packers are finally doing is trying to move forward defensively. I think you're going to see a lot of change in that organization. I honestly think that this is going to be the last year we see Mike McCarthy.
I agree with that.
So I think there's going to be a lot of change there. For fourth-round pick, they didn't feel they were going to re-sign him and give him that money with all them youngsters in the secondary, Jordan. So I get it. For Washington, I think it's a home run.
The Los Angeles Rams made a trade today as well. They will bring in Dante Fowler from the Jacksonville Jaguars, giving up a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. We'll talk again about this one in depth in just a bit. To me, this is a home-run trade for the Rams. I think the Jaguars also come out okay on this deal. Looking at some of the other moves, Ty Montgomery. We can't stray too far away from the Packers. He was a big talk. Big talk on Sunday, bringing the ball out, fumbling, preventing Aaron Rodgers from potentially having another game-winning drive. You could tell there was some friction there. Apparently, he was a little upset about being pulled in the previous series, but he missed a blitz assignment, and that led to an Aaron Rodgers sack. There's been some problems, I guess, within the locker room. You mentioned Mike McCarthy. I think he's lost this team, and I think Ty Montgomery is a key fixture in that. They trade him to Baltimore for a seventh-round pick. I mean, in 2020, no less. So they gave him away.
They gave him away, and I think what they were going to, you know, what Ty Montgomery is, we've seen a couple years ago he had coming out party in the playoffs. They moved him from receiver early in his career and put him at running back. A couple years ago in the playoffs, he had a nice little run, but he's had trouble staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The mental error you mentioned, and then you know, credit where it's due, too. I mean, that play by Ramiq Wilson was awesome.
That was a great play.
That was a great play.
It wasn't as if Montgomery just dropped the football.
He didn't just drop the football running all by himself. That was a great play by Wilson. But I sense desperation in Green Bay. What I'm sensing is desperation there. You know, the Bears are coming on. The Vikings haven't played well, and they're still, 4-2-1, 5-2-1?
They're right there.
And they haven't played well.
No.
So I think there's some desperation in Green Bay. I really do. I'm with you. I think McCarthy's gone. Unless they get on a run and get five or six in a row, I don't see him coming back. And Montgomery was losing playing time anyways. The Jones kid were taking snaps at running back from him. So, you know, in the end, you're not going to miss Ty Montgomery. But I'm with you. There's some desperation there, just giving him away after a fumble.
Now, speaking within that division in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions also traded Golden Tate today to the Philadelphia Eagles. This makes a lot of sense for Philly. And again, we'll break it down a little bit later on in the show. But you give Carson Wentz another legit option. Golden Tate, 30 years old. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. He's going to garner a pretty, I'm not going to say a massive deal, but he's going to get a major deal this offseason. Lions didn't want to pay that. They get a third-round pick for him. Rumor was they were looking for a fourth-round pick. Philly had to up the ante. They go to a third. They bring him in. Again, I like it from both angles.
Absolutely. And you look at it from Detroit, Patricia there, he's trying to build something, and he has T.J. Jones. He's got Marvin Jones. Kenny Galladay's coming on. Mm-hmm. Theo Riddick, if he's healthy, is basically a slot receiver anyways. Yeah. So when you add that in and you save the money and you get the third-round pick, and it's a win-win both ways. You're right. Philly needed to help. They want some slot receiver. The other day they were throwing the ball to Jordan Matthews, and Aguilar's kind of banged up. Jeffrey's just coming back. So I think it helped the depth there. And like I said, third-round pick, that's a good deal for Detroit. I didn't think they were going to get a three for Golden Tate, honestly.
Wanted a four, ended up getting a three. Look, the time is now for Dan Quinn. He has his guy. He's got Matt Patricia in as his head coach. It's go time right now for the Detroit Lions, and I think you're going to see a number of changes. This is going to be a very busy offseason for the Detroit Lions. It began today, week 8, trade deadline, perfect time for them to start making moves. We'll talk more about the Lions a little bit later on in the show as well. Vinny, also, you know what, maybe we'll save this one for next segment. The mess of the Cleveland Browns.
It's awful.
It really is. And as more and more of this comes out, I was blown away yesterday when the announcement came that Hugh Jackson had been let go. But when more and more comes out, bottom line is there was friction between head coach and an offensive coordinator. Now they're both gone. To protect Baker Mayfield, I assume.
Yeah, that's just, you know what? Sometimes you don't even know what to say. And, you know, that's why the NFL, when you're watching the NFL and you see these guys, they just say, you're the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing these stories now, Haslam, with these people arguing, they're not getting along. I understand that. But here's a guy that went through all that stuff. You're 0-16, 1-15, and you get through it. You make significant progress this year. That football team basically has been a tough out all but one game.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a tough out.
Four overtime games.
They get a couple bounces, and this team's 5-2.
Yeah.
I mean, literally 5-2. This is a team that's been blown out for 2 years. They finally make something happen, and you blow it up midseason. And it's
Cleveland Brown-esque.
It's Cleveland Brown. It's awful. And you didn't wait to... Okay, I understand Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley don't get along. Well, fire Todd Haley.
Right. It's simple. Get rid of the offensive coordinator. That's a simple solution. Get rid of your offensive coordinator. You know what makes this even more mind-boggling to me? And again, this is the apparent reason why Hugh Jackson no longer has a job, right? Because him and Todd Haley could not get along. I mean, that's the main cause, right?
Right.
Okay, so how toxic was this coaching situation that they deemed Greg Williams as a better
fit.
Interim fit than Hugh Jackson?
This guy's been suspended by the NFL.
This guy's a maniac.
This guy's
put bounties on players' heads.
He was suspended by the NFL.
For a full season.
He was banned.
Now he's the interim head coach.
He's the interim head coach. That's another one. And then you bring in a guy to call the plays, Al Saunders. The last time this guy had a significant job in the NFL was with the San Diego Chargers in 1987.
Yeah, it's
that's the last time he was, because he was the interim head coach to start, apparently. I read he got the head coaching job, and then they turned around and changed their mind and gave it to Greg Williams.
Nuts. It's a very weird situation in Cleveland. We will talk about the Browns. We'll save that one for next segment. We will break down the NFL trades a little bit later on in the show, and we'll take a look at the division races as well now that we are at the midway point. And, of course, we have Thursday Night Football coming up this week on KOAL. Before we break, we got to take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Another off night for the Utah Jazz. Tonight we get Miami at Charlotte, 5 p.m. games. Also, Cleveland will play host to Atlanta. Sacramento at Orlando. We get Detroit at Boston. Philadelphia will take on the Toronto Raptors. Three games in the 6 o'clock hour. Portland at Houston. The Grizzlies play host to the Wizards. Nightcap tonight's the Clippers and the Thunder. The Jazz with one more night off. Utah is going to return to Halloween on Halloween tomorrow to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up, plus a local sports recap when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Talking NFL football today. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Vinny Rondinelli. And now we'll move on and we'll talk about the major trade deadline deals. Vinny, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Trade deadline for basketball and baseball in the NBA and MLB, it's always really active. Been about 3 or 4 years for the NFL. It used to be a dud. You didn't see anything.
Nothing.
Middle of the season.
Yeah, nothing.
It's pretty active now.
Yeah, it is. I think the change in it, the CBA, made a big difference in the structure of contracts and moving the deadline back. So, and, you know, it's different from the NBA and especially baseball is, you know, the NFL has the hard cap. Everybody's got the same amount of money.
Right.
Which makes a big difference. And both those other caps are structured so differently, so it's a whole different ball game. But, yeah, there was stuff happening all day long.
Yeah.
Stuff happening all day long, and it's good for the NFL.
Let's dive into it. Let's talk about it. We'll start with the Texans-Broncos. I know we talked about this trade a lot during the intro. I'm going to go back to it for those who are just joining us. The Denver Broncos move on from Demaryius Thomas. They trade him to the Houston Texans for a fourth-round pick. I think you and I agree here. I love this deal for both teams. And the reason I like it for both is because you no longer have Will Fuller. I thought Will Fuller was going to put up massive numbers. Had he stayed healthy all season long, yeah, I think he would have put up number one wideout numbers. Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller, they have a connection with one another.
Yeah, that was a tough blow for Houston. They had to do something. Yeah, they had to do something.
They give up a fourth-round pick. They bring in Demaryius Thomas. I like the move. I know Thomas is 30 years old. I don't know if he's worth a fourth-round pick. We'll see. You know, how does this rejuvenate Demaryius Thomas? Based off numbers, I don't know if he's worth a third- or fourth-round pick. I really don't. I'm curious to see what the connection is, the chemistry between him and Deshaun Watson. But the bottom line is you had to bring in someone to strike fear in opposing defenses on the opposite side of Hopkins. You absolutely had to because you're going to win that division. That division is not good.
You're going to win it. And they needed a player. It's a one-year rental. You know, he's not going to get the second year of that deal. Fourth-round pick, like you said, if Will Fuller's playing, deal doesn't happen anyways. But Denver gets reps for Sutton, moves on. Houston gets somebody next to Hopkins because if they didn't, it would have been triple coverage on Hopkins. It would have been awful for him. DT can still do a lot of things for you. He can still run in breaking routes. I know he gets a problem with his hands. He's not a great catcher of the football, but he's physical. He can block. He's been around. I know there's a calmness to veteran receivers like that. You don't see him. He's not a diva. There's no throwing his helmet on the sidelines. Hopkins is a highly emotional person anyways. This could be a calming influence, especially with a young player in Watson. Hopkins, still a young player. So I think there's some upside to this. I really do. Like you said, Will Fuller's playing. DT ain't there. But, you know, for a fourth-round pick, this is going to help him because it's a playoff move. And you're going to need experienced players because Houston don't have a lot of that.
I agree. So who wins the trade? Who wins the trade?
Oh, I think you call that a wash. I think it's a wash for either way. You could go either way with that. For me, I think Houston. Because they're actually going to be in the playoffs this year.
I agree. Look, Denver, they found a way to get some sort of compensation for a declining player. Like I said, I don't know if Demaryius Thomas is worth a fourth-round pick at this stage in his career, but based on the situation in Houston, yeah, he probably is. So, yeah, that's hard to pick a winner. Okay, I'll agree with you on that one. Let's move on. Philadelphia and Detroit. So Golden Tate leaving Detroit for a third-round pick. And like I said, Howie Roseman, general manager for the Eagles, done a great job. I mean, he's done a tremendous job. Yeah. The NFL is a copycat league, and I think we see two or three teams right now copying what the Philadelphia Eagles did last year. The Rams are copying Philadelphia to the T on what they did last season. I do believe Roseman paid above market value. Again, it was being reported that Detroit was looking for a fourth. Odds are they were going to get front of the round fourth. And so in order for him to go to Philly, they had to up it to a third. That would be the simplistic view of it, right? Yeah. So all in all, I think Roseman paid above market value. But with that being said, I think it's a fantastic trade for the Eagles because Carson Wentz needs more weapons. I think Tate is going to be a great fit. He's never been a locker room problem. You know, he kind of reminds me of the Steve Smith guy. If you don't have Golden Tate on your team, you don't really like the guy. But if he's on your team, you love him. I think Steve Smith's a fair comparison.
Yeah.
And then I take a look at who he's going to be replacing. Maybe Nelson Aguilar in the slot, unless you want to use Tate on the outside. Outside of that, you still have Alshon Jeffrey. Zach Ertz is a player. We talked about this before. So to me, another weapon for Philadelphia. Don't forget, they lost to Jaye already this season. They needed another offensive weapon, and they got it today.
And Tate is a versatile player. He can line up in the backfield at times. He can return punts. He can do reverses and screens. There's a lot of things he can do to help you. Jeffrey's just getting back. Again, they like their double tight ends, too, with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. So, yeah, good trade for Philadelphia. Yeah, third rounder seemed a little bit high at first. But, you know, then again, Detroit and Philly, they might have been saying, hey, if we're fighting for the sixth seed in the NFL here or the NFC, getting into the playoffs, that lower end of it, you know, I don't want to be sending him, you know, somebody I could be seeing later on. So that might be part of the discussion, too. Hey, if I'm going to have to see you later on at the bottom end of the playoffs, I don't want to be, you know, you're going to have to give me a little something extra.
Yeah, Detroit's maybe, not out of it. I mean, they're a game
they're
back
not,
in
yeah,
the
they're not out of it. So they could have seen each other. Maybe that they could have been the 5-6.
That's possible.
So within the conference, like you said, maybe it started as a 4, you know, Detroit hard line and said, you got to give me a 3. And, you know, Philly was willing to do that. Like you said, Golden Tate, good guy. No background problems. And he can do a lot of things. You can line him up in the backfield at times.
And
he can throw him the ball out of that way.
His production and usage, has slipped over the past 3 weeks in Detroit.
Right.
And it really has. So to me, this is something that's been in the works.
And it's a win-win again, like you said. They got T.J. Jones. They got Kenny Golladay. They got Marvin Jones. Yeah. They want to run the ball, be more physical.
And
they
want to
be Kerryon Johnson. And LeGarrette Blount's in Detroit.
Right.
Yeah, so they want to be more physical anyway. So, yeah, they get a third rounder. And he's trying to build his own team. Again, just like New England, you get the New England tree with Patricia and Bob Quinn up there. They want draft picks.
Again, who wins this deal?
Detroit.
I'll have to agree with you.
The third rounder.
Only because it's a third rounder.
Yeah, only because it's a third rounder. I agree. Yeah, that's what I'm going to lean for. I think either way, you could argue, Jordan, but I'm going to say Detroit because you get the third rounder.
I can't disagree with that. Curious to see how this plays out from here on out. But again, we're talking about rentals. Odds are this is a rental for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So you're giving up a 3 for a rental. I'll agree with you. I'll say Detroit wins that deal. The Los Angeles Rams acquired Dante Fowler from the Jaguars. They have to pay a steep price here. They give up a third-round pick in 2019 and a fifth-round pick in 2020. It's a big price to pay for a guy. I believe he played 33% of the snaps this season in Jacksonville. But we know what Fowler can bring to the table. And really taking a look at it, he's a fourth. The Rams have struggled on the pass rush around the edge.
Mm-hmm.
That has been their big Achilles heel. Okay, so when you take a look, I know that the margin is very small on things you can improve when you're 8-0. I get that, but you look at what the Rams have up front. If you want to go ahead and use a 4-man front, you now have Brockers, Donald, Sue, and Fowler. That's as lethal as it gets. Steep price. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jacksonville got more than fair compensation for Fowler. But this may be a role in which Fowler finally reaches his full potential. It's a high-risk, high-reward deal for the Rams.
This is a win-win, again, both ways, because if you're the Rams, if Fowler's on the same side as Aaron Donald, you know, if he can just get to the edge, the quarterback has to step up, and he has to step up to Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. If you can put any pressure on the edge and make the quarterback step forward, he's toast. So this is a huge deal. Wade Phillips is a master at creating pass rush. Everywhere he's ever been, he's done it. He's had great pass rushers at every stop. I mean, I can just think back, just in recent memory here, he made Shane Ray and Shaquille Barrett look amazing.
Right.
You know, not to mention Von Miller. He made Sean Phillips look amazing, not to mention Sean Merriman. He's done it with DeMarcus Ware. He's done it with, I mean, everywhere he's been great at this. So I think this is a home run for the Rams. Wade Phillips is loving this. Aaron Donald's loving this right now.
Dominic is loving it.
And for Fowler, he's had 8 sacks in a season before. I think last year he had 8 sacks.
Yeah, he's got 2.5, I believe.
Two and a half already. And for Jacksonville, Fowler got hurt, and Ngakoue kind of stepped in.
Ngakoue's a
good player. So Fowler got, you know, what was it, the second day of his rookie minicamp, he slips and blows an ACL.
Right.
Right? So he had some bad luck to start. But I think this is a win-win for both. Jacksonville gets 2 picks. for a player that's not going to start.
One that they weren't using all that much.
They weren't using all the time, and I think this is a missing piece, like you said, for the Rams. They have got to improve on third down. And again, he's going to get single blocks. Most of the time, they're going to be ahead because that offense is lethal. So if you're Dante Fowler, this is a chance of a lifetime to make some money, because what Pat Kerwin say on NFL radio today, hey, if you play defense, you sack the quarterback, it equals dollars. So he could be in for a big payday with this, because like you said, he's going to get single blocked all the time. He will never get double teamed.
Right.
When Aaron Donald's next to you, he will never get double teamed.
Look, I know that the Rams secondary has not been great, but Aqib Talib will be back in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, he will be back.
Okay?
Exactly right.
And so really going into the season, what was the one aspect of the Rams game that you looked at and you said, okay, they could improve?
Linebacker play.
Linebacker core. I mean, that was it. Mark Barron was hurt to start the beginning of the season. You know, you have Corey Littleton, who's played out of his mind. He's outplayed his contract.
Yeah, Littleton has improved and
he's been great.
Yeah, he's been great.
Samson Ebukam, as you and I were talking about off the
young player.
A young player.
Small
the
school
outside.
Player, too. Eastern Washington.
Yes.
Eastern Washington.
Yes.
So he's getting it better with more reps, too.
And now you add Dante Fowler. Yeah, again, I think both teams win here. This may be the move that pushes the Rams over the top. It may be. It very well could be.
Oh, very well could be.
Okay, but at the same time, the Jaguars are getting a 3 and a 5 for a guy they weren't using. This is a tough one to grade as far as who wins.
For me, I think, you know, the Jags are going nowhere. I think this team's fell apart. We talked about this off the air, and, you know, I've told my friends and family, talking football, the team I saw taking a dive this year was Jacksonville. I thought last year they played over their head and got too many breaks. So I didn't think they were going to the playoffs this year. I really did not. So they're going nowhere. They get the 2 picks, but they're going nowhere. For the Rams, I think they win because they looked at the one thing they needed to improve on is outside pass rush on third down, and it cost them a 3 and a 5.
Yeah, and they did it. Yeah. Last trade before we go to a quick commercial break, we have HaHa Clinton Dix going to the Washington Redskins for a 4th round pick.
Clear winner to the Redskins.
I agree.
Clear winner to the Redskins. I think the Packers just give up 4th. You know, they get a 4th round pick, but they don't even replace him. I think the Packers are spiraling right now. I think they've kind of lost their way, and they need to do a mini rebuild. I agree defensively they do. They started it with the Kevin King, Jair Alexander, and the Johnson kid, wasn't it? They drafted 2 this year, 1 last year in the secondary. So Clinton Dix can ball. Washington need the help. And again, Washington's 5-2 in that division.
They 5-2, really, a quiet 5-2.
They have a stranglehold on that division. They really
they do.
They really do. So that could put them over the top. They're going to the playoffs. I don't think the Packers are. I really don't. I really don't think the Packers are going to catch fire. I think the Bears are improved. I think the Lions are improved. And I think the Vikings, again, they haven't played great, and they're still in first place. So, clear winner to me, Washington.
If you're going to compete in the NFC, and again, Washington's a quiet 5-2, you better have a solid secondary, because in order to get to the NFC, in order to get to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to get through the Rams. We
or
know
the
they're
Saints.
Lethal.
Or the Saints.
You're going to have to get through the Saints. And Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota, and they're getting better and better. And Adam Thielen may be the best wide receiver on planet Earth right now.
Oh, he is playing out of his mind.
Okay,
he
so
is
if
awesome.
You're, if you're going to compete with that, and don't forget about Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
who just
in your division.
State, right?
In your division.
In your own division. In order to compete with that, you have to stock up in the secondary. They now have Clinton Dix. They also have DJ Swearinger. That's a loaded defensive backfield.
Yeah.
It really is. Swearinger's played out of his mind this season.
Yeah, Swearinger's played great. Clinton Dix had something to it. On the outside, you know, Josh Norman's still there. He's a veteran player. He's not as good as he thinks he is, but he's a good, solid NFL player, a veteran player. So Washington's got a little mojo going on right now, and they have them 2 Alabama D linemen starting to play good. You know, Payne and Allen.
So we agree, hands down.
Hands down.
Washington
wins. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Big deal for the Redskins. Hey, we've got a break for just a moment. We will come back and put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
Live from the KOAL newsroom at Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Vinny Rondinelli in the studio today as we are talking loads of NFL football. We had the trade deadline today, and again, we will recap the 4 or 5 main trades that went down. We talked about those briefly during the last segment. There was some breaking news yesterday morning, And Vinny, I don't know about you, I was surprised. And that was that the Cleveland Browns have fired Hugh Jackson. And for a lot of people, they saw this coming and they're saying, why did it take this long? This guy had won one out of his first 32 games as a head coach, went 1-15, goes 0-16. But for me, and again, I have the tendency of looking at things logically. Okay, I'd like to think I'm a logical person. You stuck it out after going 1-15 and 0-16, and you are finally having some success. And I know that right now, it's fun to say Baker Mayfield's name. I get it. It's fun. It's entertaining. He was a winner in college. He has his antics that I guess it's appealing to some people. They're 2-5-1. They've won more games this season than they have the last 2 years combined. And Baker Mayfield hasn't looked all that great. I think sometimes we overrate the fact that he came in against the Jets, led the Browns back to led them back from a comeback, you know, picked up a victory. To me, he's looked okay.
Yeah, okay.
He's looked okay. Yeah. This has been a solid coaching job from Hugh Jackson, in my opinion, through the first 8 games of the season. Don't give Baker Mayfield the credit for this team being 2-5-1. Because defensively, they played great football. Denzel Ward has been amazing this year. I wasn't turnover high after, on that pick.
Turnover after turnover they've got.
Myles Garrett looks healthy, looks fresh. And this happens. To me, it is just the ultimate Cleveland Brown move. Okay, and I'm not saying that Hugh Jackson is the guy long term. But what I'm saying is, reboot at the end of the season. Right? Well, why now? If you had the number one and the number four pick in the draft, if you were sold on Hugh Jackson hanging around for the draft in which you had two of the top four picks in a star-studded draft class, if you weren't sold on him, wouldn't you want to bring in a guy that shares your long-term vision to use the number one and number four pick? That doesn't happen every day. I am a little bit baffled by this move. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm completely floored by it. I mean, I'm not a huge Hugh Jackson fan, personality-wise. I think he is a little bit abrasive or whatnot. But you're right. They were the laughingstock of the NFL for 2 years, and now they're a solid football team. They're a blown call by a terrible blown call that cost them the Raider game.
Mm-hmm.
A 59-yard field goal, I think, in one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
They lose. And they could be literally 4-2. They could be 5-2 right now.
Possible. Very possible.
Literally, very easily. Yeah. They could be 5-2. This was 1-31. They get 5-2. You're right. You spend all your time and money on this, and then you blow it all up again.
I felt the same way.
You know, you got all these chips, young players. What are they thinking? Again, here we go again.
Right. And Vinny, I felt the same way when the Browns got rid of Sashi Brown, because I thought Sashi Brown had done an admirable job. Okay, and when you stock up and accumulate the amount of picks that Brown did for the future. Remember, they bought a draft pick when they acquired Brock Osweiler.
They paid $16 million for a pick. Second rounder.
Okay,
yeah.
And I didn't have a problem with it because they had the money to absorb that season to do it. Okay, so when you are bringing in assets, future draft assets, you're obviously not building to win right now. Okay, so that was my assumption. Owner Jimmy Haslam understands that Sashi Brown is stacking up for the future. Thought they had a great draft a couple of seasons ago, grabbing Jabril Peppers late. They got Njoku in that draft.
Who's playing well.
Playing very well. They made, I thought, the right decisions in that draft. They got DeShone Kizer in the second round. A lot of people graded him out first round. Didn't give Kizer much of a chance, but I thought that draft, I thought the Browns were fine all the way around. I thought that was a great draft for the Browns. And then you get rid of Sashi Brown. And then you go out and you hire John Dorsey. And I don't know if this is Haslam's deal or if this is Dorsey's deal, but Dorsey elects to roll the dice with Hugh Jackson, knowing that you're taking over a team as the general manager in which this coach is 1-31. So where does the blame fall? Is it Haslam or is it Dorsey? Either which way, it's not a good look for the Browns because now you're starting over. And I do believe that this is going to be a job that is attractive from a personnel standpoint for a first-year NFL head coach. I don't think you can't go retread here. You mentioned Mike McCarthy at the beginning of the show. Mike McCarthy is going to be available at the end of the season. I don't know if you go retread at this point. A lot of coaches at the college level. Look, you got David Shaw, who I love David Shaw. I do too.
Giant David Shaw fan.
Understand why this guy has not at least been offered the kitchen sink to come to the NFL at this stage. You know, you got Lincoln Riley's another one. That's another name.
And he threw his name out of it yesterday, apparently.
That means his name's in the hat, right?
Yeah, he threw his name out of it, but you're right. Well, how did he get in the hat?
Exactly. To begin with. So, to me, it's an attractive job. Do you want to work for John Dorsey or Jimmy Haslam based off what just happened yesterday with this franchise?
I wouldn't. If I'm a successful coach, I wouldn't want to put up with that, because what are you putting up with to begin with? And you're right. We're never going to know the full story. They're going to say, reporters.
Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson,
we're going to hear that. Okay, well, then they should just fire Todd Haley. I mean, everybody knows Todd Haley's hard to get on with. They fired him in Kansas City. He worked for Parcells. They had trouble. He went to Pittsburgh. We had the Big Ben all the time having to say, no, me and Todd Haley are buddies. Those rumors just don't fly out of nowhere. Todd Haley's tough to work with. Who hired him? The way I understand it, if we're going to go by what the Cleveland media is saying, Hugh Jackson didn't hire him.
It's a John Dorsey hire, right?
John Dorsey hire. So if they're not getting along, whose fault is that? That's John Dorsey's fault. You're seeing John Dorsey trying to just, to me, it just seems like a second grade, I'm the biggest man on the playground thing. That's exactly what I see. It's ridiculous. You have John Dorsey constantly just throwing out players because he didn't draft them. And like you said, they just give DeShone Kizer, just threw him to the curb after one season. That was ridiculous. You're seeing this Carlo Hyde thing. He gave him the money. Hugh Jackson, wanted to play Nick Chubb, so he just throws him to the curb and sends him to Jacksonville. You know, if Carlos Hyde can play, why did you waste a second-round pick on Nick Chubb when you have Duke Johnson to begin with? So it just seems like there's no flow there. It's just the Cleveland Browns again. And it just seems like Jimmy Haslam sitting on a preschool class that he was mean to me, he was mean to me, I want him to play. It's terrible. It's a bad look for Cleveland. It's a terrible look for Jimmy Haslam, because here he is again in front of the world having a news conference that he's fired somebody else now.
Well, and
you're right about Sashi Brown. I get the point that, I heard all the laughter about, they're using analytics and they're using something different. That's fine. But he was successful at what he was trying to do.
He was very
successful. Now, if you wanted to bring in, if he was going to be your VP of player personnel, and then you brought in a general manager, a football guy or something like that to go with that, to mesh in, that would have been perfect. But no, you just got to, you toss him aside. You keep Hugh Jackson. And like you said, if you're going to fire Hugh Jackson, you should have done it. You should have done it. You should not have set your whole course for the season and then wait 8 weeks and throw him out.
It's ridiculous. You can't use the argument either that Hugh Jackson is 3-36-1, which is by far the worst record for one team in NFL history, minimum of 40 games, by far, okay? But you can't use that as a reason for this guy to lose his job, because at the end of the day, there's been so much turnover within the front office. And Hugh Jackson joined this franchise in the midst of one vision and was pegged to be, they could have let him go in the offseason, but he was pegged to be the ringleader of another new vision. You know what I'm saying? So the old saying is, players win, coaches lose. I get that. And I know it may seem insane that I'm defending a guy who was 3-36-1, but when you look at what was given to Hugh Jackson, not all the blame can go on Hugh Jackson.
No, absolutely not. They tore it down to nothing. And then they were starting to rebuild it. And Sashi Brown deserves credit. Like you said, they had $80 million in cap space. They had all the draft picks. They were set up to succeed. They had torn it down, and they were in the midst of rebuilding it. And right in the middle of your rebuild, you throw him out. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have got fired, but what I'm saying is, I agree with you. If you were going to do it, now's not the time to do that. Him and Todd Haley don't get along. Then get rid of Todd Haley.
The time to get rid of Hugh Jackson is months ahead, knowing you have the number one and the number four pick in the draft.
Yeah.
That's the time to do it, right? Because, look, right now, you and I had a conversation last week about the Oakland Raiders, and I don't know how much longer Derek Carr is going to be in Oakland. And the reason being, it's a new regime, right? If Reggie McKenzie's not around in two seasons, is Derek Carr around in two seasons? Probably not.
Yeah, we'll never know. Yeah.
It's
not John Gruden's guy.
So whoever you bring in next, you're going to have a high draft pick, right? Who's to say that Baker Mayfield is that coach's guy?
Exactly right.
That's the
problem with it. You hit it right in the head, because the next coach could come in and say, I run an offense he can't run.
So do you hire around Baker Mayfield?
You have to. That's basically what you're saying
that's
now.
A problem.
You're telling the Cleveland world, hey, our coaches couldn't get along, and this was just a mess, so we want Baker Mayfield to be happy, and we're going to hire somebody he likes or that will do something to help him. What if you go? What if the top candidate on your list doesn't – they don't mesh? Baker Mayfield can't play in all the offenses. We know Baker Mayfield's what? With his pads on, 6'1", 210, maybe?
Maybe.
With pads on?
Yeah, maybe.
He has to move around.
Uh-huh.
He's got to move around. Now, what if, you know, your hottest coaching candidate you want, that offense doesn't fit what he does?
It's amazing to me. And when you take a look at the quarterbacks under Hugh Jackson during his time in Cleveland, he had Tyrod Taylor. And I thought Tyrod Taylor was the perfect free agent signing to bring in as that fill gap quarterback.
Absolutely. And he wanted him to do that.
And he did.
He did.
Okay, so 1-1-1, that's Tyrod Taylor's record in Cleveland. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, RG3, Kevin Hogan, Josh McCown, Cody Kessler, DeShone Kizer. I may even be missing a couple. Those are the quarterbacks that he went through in 2.5 seasons. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. And they're all young guys outside of RG3 and Josh McCown. Cody Kessler was a young guy. DeShone Kizer was a young guy he used a second-round pick on.
And they tossed him.
To the curb for nothing.
For nothing. That was a wasted second-round pick. They just have no continuity. And, you know, Jimmy Haslam swore, hey, I'm not going to blow this thing up again. We're going to do it in the long term and do it right. So they started with Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown. He brought in all the trade chips. Everything's going that way. Jimmy Haslam goes against his word. Sashi Brown's out. Here comes John Dorsey, and he just starts tossing a lot of these assets. He's just tossing them now. DeShone Kizer, we don't want you. You're out of here. You know, Tyrod Taylor, you're going to the bench. Carlos Hyde, you're out of here. You know, he's moving a lot of these players that say they weren't his players. And then Jimmy Haslam again. Well, now we're not going to do it the right way and take our time. Hugh Jackson, you're out of here. And then, like you mentioned, there was two interim head coaches because I got an alert that said Al Saunders was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And Al Saunders was the head coach of the San Diego Chargers in 1987. That's the last time he was a head coach, Jordan. Then I get another one that says, never mind, my bad, it's Greg Williams.
Because that's better.
And Greg
that's
Williams,
so much better.
Here's a guy that was banned by the NFL. He was kicked out of the NFL for a full season. And then he gets the job? So, I mean, it's like I said, I'm not a huge Hugh Jackson fan, personality-wise, but he got a raw deal. He should have made it through the end of the year. What if that team would have ended up 6-10? What if they ended up 6-10? Or what 6-9-1, I guess would be.
I don't think it would have mattered. 6-9-1. It wouldn't have mattered, right?
But you go from 1-36 to 6-9-1 and tell me they haven't made positive strides.
Right, I agree.
Oh, they've made positive strides. You can tell that team's balling, and at least they're in every game. When you go to 4 overtime games in the NFL, that means you're competitive in this league.
And they've been, and again, I don't want to go down this path again, but they were robbed in the Raider game.
Oh, robbed. Yeah, they won that game.
So, to me, I think he gets a little bit of a raw deal. And again, I know it's very, very hard to defend a guy that's 3-36-1. I get that. But the fact is the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns for a reason, and they proved it again to us yesterday. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll break down the 5 major trades today in the NFL. It is week 8. The trade deadline has come and gone. There's some new places for some different faces. That's coming up next when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back to the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Spent it talking all NFL football. We get a lot going on with the trade deadline today. Do not forget, we will have Thursday night NFL football coming up here on KOAL, just a couple of days away from that. Thursday night games this year have all been fairly interesting, to say the least. I got to be honest, Vinny, there are some weeks I look at Thursday night football and I kind of shake my head. It's been pretty compelling football up to this point. And I say up to this point because Thursday we get the Raiders and the 49ers. Okay. Well, so it's been compelling up to this point, but we will talk about that game a little bit later on in the week. I also got to throw out tomorrow we're going to be joined by Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher. He's joined us all year to talk Major League Baseball. We'll get his thoughts on the World Series, and we'll take a look ahead into the offseason. Hot Stove Talk is now already ramping up. Vinny, it was a pleasure to get you back in the studio today. I always enjoy the conversations and the time on Tuesdays.
Absolutely. I love talking football with you, Jordan. It's always fun.
out of time on this edition. For Vinny Rondinelli and Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. You have a terrific Tuesday. Coming up next, it's NASCAR Live right here on AM 750 and 107.3 FM KOAL.